Feel like a broke down engine. Ain't got no driving wheel. That's me. This is DJ Bennett from the Kill Radio News Team, and this is the weekly news and review. But first up, let's look at a couple things here. The 9/11 truthers, who have primarily gone away, though their websites are still there, the truthers still maintain that the World Trade Center buildings on 9/11 were brought down by controlled demolitions. The people in the 9/11 truth movement are anomaly seekers. They're looking for a specific answer. They have an agenda, which is that the 9/11 attacks were not from outside the country. They were from within the country. It's silly. But one of the things that they have maintained for all these years is that there was dust found after the event, which they say proves that thermite was used in the demolition on 9/11. And recently, a very sophisticated report was done, a progress report on the analysis of red-gray chips in the World Trade Center dust, which has now determined that this dust, which these anomaly seekers have tried so hard to maintain, proves their point. Well, we know enough about thermite, even this mythical magic dust they call nanothermite, to know that thermite is based upon aluminum. And an analysis of the dust that we have been able to procure shows no aluminum in this dust. Essentially, it shows that it is bits and pieces of paint chips that have nothing to do with thermite or nanothermite. So therefore, the 9/11 truthers' thermite claims are now pretty much dashed. That doesn't mean that they won't move the goalpost and try to maintain that they still have proof, because they're not interested in evidence. They have an agenda, and all they want to do is prove their agenda. But in fact, we know by now that the 9/11 truthers have wasted the past decade putting energy into something that most of us have moved on about. Further, we have a report from the CDC that measles cases in the United States hit a 15-year high in 2011, just last year. Between 2001 and 2010, there had been approximately 60 cases of measles reported in the United States each year. But in 2011, there were 222 cases. This is an increase of threefold and more. Now, enough is known about these people. It's not like these are just reports that are random out of nowhere. We know who these 222 people are. No one, by the way, has died of measles in the United States in the last decade. However, about 20 million people worldwide catch measles, and about 164,000 people die every year from measles. And a rise in measles in the United States means that measles might be coming back. Now, what we do know, or what the CDC understands, is that 200 of these 222 cases were of travelers who had traveled around the world, and there are still places where people are not immunized about measles. In the United States, if everyone got their measles shot, the DTP3 vaccine, diphtheria, tetanus, pertussis vaccine, they would not be susceptible to measles germs. So this increase shows that people are not being vaccinated. Now, we know that it's not worldwide, but we know that fewer and fewer people are taking their vaccinations. The reason vaccinations are mandatory is to build up herd, crowd immunity. There are some people, children, who are unable to take vaccines due to a weakness on their physical structure. And that means that herd immunity protects those people. However, when the herd is not being immunized, someone who may just be a little under the weather for a few days, may be in a crowd, sneeze, cough, whatever, and someone who cannot be vaccinated gets the measles. This is the way it spreads, folks. Get your shots. Get your immunizations. It's good for all of us. Think globally. Stop thinking of just selfishness. I also sadly want to report that as of April 10th, 2012, the state of Tennessee passed an anti-evolution bill. This means that in Tennessee, the students are not going to be given modern science in their classes. Essentially, this means that religious people have decided that they don't want their children to know about modern biology. They don't want that. These people don't care about modern biology. So therefore, they reject it. They have an authoritarian mindset that says that anything who disagrees with them is just simply wrong. So they reject science. And we now have a law in Tennessee that says that teachers have to tell their students about the flaws in evolutionary theory, except that there are no flaws in evolutionary theory. Do we have all the answers in evolution? Of course not. But creationism doesn't offer any answers at all, except have faith. That's not an answer. So we see this news, and on top of that, I feel totally let down by the federal government right now because of our partisan Supreme Court, which has decided that corporations can spend as much money as they want in election campaigns, and that's okay. This is just bad thinking. And it shows that money has now corrupted every level of the government, including the Supreme Court. Did we not know this before? Of course we knew this before. Ever since Justice Thomas stepped into the Supreme Court, and he was chosen just because he was a right-winger who was black. He had never served as a judge, ever. He was the head of the EEOC. He was not a federal judge. He was not an appointed judge. He didn't hear cases. But because he had the right partisan attitude, he was put on the Supreme Court. Now, I believe that he was sexually harassing the people around him in his office. He probably didn't think that was so bad at the time, and he was humiliated by the charges against him, but he should never have been put on the court, period. Not because of his skin color, but because he had never served as a judge. He's been a horrible judge the last 20 years. 20 years. And we now have a partisan court that doesn't care about America. It only cares about the 1%. So this just seems more and more pointless because there is no justice. If the Supreme Court is partisan and corrupted, where is there going to be justice? Evidently not in the United States. Anyway, this is the Weekly News and Review. It was posted by Jacob Z. Gross on the Harpers.org website on June 26, 2012. This does concern the news of the previous week, so bear with me. Let's run down what happened. Mohamed Morsi of the Muslim Brotherhood was declared the winner of the election to succeed ousted Egyptian President Hosni Mubarak, thereby becoming the country's first democratically elected leader. Tens of thousands of Egyptians celebrated the announcement in Cairo's Tahrir Square, where they had assembled to protest recent decrees by the country's High Court and Supreme Council of the Armed Forces that dissolved parliament, implemented martial law, and stripped the presidency of most of its powers. The onus now is on the new president to unite the nation, said a military source, and to rebuild the country economically and politically. Protesters vowed to continue occupying the square until parliament was reinstated, and analysts expressed skepticism that Morsi, who had earned the name Spare Tire during the campaign, would be able to govern effectively. Meet Egypt's next non-president, said one scholar. Egyptian media reported that Mubarak was comatose, on life support, clinically dead, and much improved. In Pakistan, the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court fired the Prime Minister and dismantled the country's cabinet. In Paraguay, Congress fast-tracked impeachment proceedings against President Fernando Lugo and voted to remove him from office. In Greece, it was announced that the newly elected Prime Minister Antonis Samaras and his incoming finance minister would miss an upcoming European Union summit because of eye surgery and hospitalization for fainting, respectively. Greece was defeated by Germany in the quarterfinals of the Euro 2012 soccer championship. Without Angie, chanted Germany's fans, referring to German Chancellor Angela Merkel, you wouldn't be here. Former Penn State University assistant football coach Jerry Sandusky was convicted on 45 of 48 counts relating to his sexual abuse of 10 boys. After the jury was sequestered, Sandusky's youngest son revealed that he had also been sexually abused by his father. North Carolina's state legislature aborted plans to compensate victims of the state's forced sterilization program. If you start compensating people who have been victimized by past history, explained a state senator, I don't know where that would end. An online weapons dealer who sold a handgun and other equipment used in three U.S. mass shootings since 2007 was found to have ceased operations. The Florida police chief who failed to arrest George Zimmerman for the shooting of Trayvon Martin was fired. And Ron Barber, the former congressional aide who almost died in the shooting that wounded Gabrielle Giffords, assumed her seat in the House of Representatives. A House panel voted to hold Attorney General Eric Holder in contempt for failing to divulge documents related to Operation Fast and Furious, a gun trafficking investigation during which federal agents lost track of more than 2,000 weapons that were eventually obtained by drug cartels. This is a witch hunt, of course. The Fast and Furious operation began during the Bush administration, and Congress Representative Daryl Issa, for instance, from California, embarrassingly, didn't bother to talk to the people from the Bush White House. This was partisan politics, as usual. That's all it ever is. They're actually saying that Fast and Furious was an operation set up in order to outrage Americans so much that the Second Amendment was rescinded or some nonsense like that. ISA actually said that. It's beyond imagination. The Mexican government accidentally arrested a used car dealership employee it had misidentified as the son of the country's top fugitive drug lord. And a New Mexico district judge ruled Legal Southwest Companions, a prostitution website run by a retired Fairleigh Dickinson University physics professor and a former president of the University of New Mexico. The U.S. Supreme Court voted 5-4, partisan, to reverse a Montana Supreme Court decision preventing the Citizens United decision from being applied to state campaign finance laws. Basically, Montana had a great law on the books that would prevent corruption by corporations in local politics. And the Supreme Court said, that's unconstitutional. You've got to accept corruption. Money matters. Supreme Court is disgusting. It's the worst we've ever seen. It's there to protect us from corruption. And here it is saying that corruption is good. This is evil. This is evil beyond evil. The Supreme Court also struck down several key provisions of a controversial Arizona immigration law while sustaining a requirement that law enforcement officials review the immigration status of anyone they suspect of being in the country illegally. What they're doing here is they're saying, and it's kind of contradictory, Supreme Court is saying that immigration decisions are a federal law choice, not a state's law choice. Presidential candidate Mitt Romney said of the Arizona decision, "I would have preferred to see the Supreme Court give more latitude to the states, not less." It is contradictory. And Antonin Scalia, who now sounds like he's trying to vie for Rush Limbaugh's job, attacked the president, attacked the Democrats for actually thinking progressively. Romney also turned down an invitation to speak at a convention of the National Association of Black Journalists, because they probably would have asked him tough questions. And a Politico reporter was suspended for saying Romney is comfortable only around white people, which is probably true. The Vatican hired a Fox News correspondent as a media advisor. A Wisconsin woman attacked her husband for having copies of the Onion newspaper in his car. A Massachusetts cyclist was attacked by a man wielding sausage links. Some 20 Zimbabwean legislators were circumcised in the country's parliament building. President Robert Mugabe's motorcade, known in Zimbabwe as Bob and the Wailers, was involved in its third fatal crash in the past 2 weeks, smashing into a commuter bus and killing at least one person. It was a minor crash, and we regret the death of the few who died, tweeted a spokesman for Mugabe's political party. An online campaign to create a vacation fund for a Rochester, New York school bus monitor who was seen being verbally abused by teenage boys in a widely circulated cell phone video raised about $600,000, while a thank you campaign for the man who organized the fund raised $4,000. A Michigan lawmaker who was barred from speaking on the floor of the state legislature after she used the word vagina during debate performed the vagina monologues on the state house steps. And a Chinese TV news program apologized for reporting the discovery of a rare double-headed mushroom known as Taisu Lingzi after the object was revealed to have been an artificial vagina and anus. "Our reporter is still very young and unwise to the ways of the world," read the show's apology. And meanwhile, confusion was found to be beneficial to learning. Well, I presume that news has been very confusing to you. I know it is to me. I'm DJ Bennett from Kill Radio News Team. Listen to my music show called The Chill Room every Friday night here at 10 p.m. on killradio.org. And I suppose I'll be back next week. I hope you have a good one. Take care.